Returning God's Word this evening to Ephesians chapter 6. Read the Word of the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Thus far we read God's holy and inspired word. May he bless the scriptures to our hearts. The text for the sermon this evening is the 16th verse of Ephesians 6. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, where do you look for your shield and for your protection? We all have vulnerabilities. We all have areas of weaknesses, and we are aware of those weaknesses. Sometimes we might think too aware of our weaknesses. And so where then do we turn for our shield and for our protection. Do we seek our shield and our protection to come from the government and from the military? Is that our confidence, that we belong to a strong nation which can flex its military might over perhaps most any other nation on the earth? And so because we are a part of that nation, we have confidence. And we must hear the words of David to Goliath. Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. Perhaps our trust is not put in the might of the government, but perhaps our trust is in the businesses and organizations of this earth. Perhaps our trust is in insurance companies. Is our confidence that if ever we should experience some calamity in life, then the insurance company, perhaps Blue Cross Blue Shield, will be our shield upon whom we can rely? Or is our confidence in our careful investing and preparing for the future? As one looks forward to retirement someday, one might build up a nest egg of money so that he is trusting he will be able to retire with confidence. Where is your shield? Those things that we have listed, though certainly not wrong of themselves, and indeed may well have a place in the Christian's life, must never displace the shield that God gives unto us, by which we are protected from the devil's fiery darts. The shield God gives is not the shield of the government, not the shield of insurance companies, not the shield of retirement plans, but the shield he gives is the shield of faith. Taking faith's shield. We use that as our theme. First, we'll see our need for this shield as we look at these fiery darts. Second, we'll see the gift God gives us in granting this shield. And then third, we'll consider the power of it as it quenches all the fiery darts. The need that we who are God's children have is protection from all the fiery darts of the wicked. In Roman times, these darts were similar to what we would call arrows. They would be shot forth from the bow, and that arrow would go and hit, the soldier would hope, hit the intended target. These darts or arrows were different from great spears that also were used in times of military conflict. If the enemy came and laid a siege around a city, and it would happen that the men who were inside that city defending it would climb up the walls of it, and they would catapult these great spears, great burning spears, out on the enemy that had laid siege of the city. But the arrows or darts of this text we must distinguish from those spears. Those spears were intended to be thrown and hopefully hit a large number of people. The spears were not aimed with precision, whereas these arrows of which the text speaks, the arrows would be aimed at one individual target. And then as well, another distinction between spears and arrows. The spears, though they were burning, intended to burn the outside of the attacker. The goal with those spears was that it would light on fire the hair, the clothing, the flesh, perhaps even the ground that the attackers stood on. But these arrows were different. These arrows would have the tip of them, attached to the tip would be cotton, and then that cotton would be covered in pitch. And that pitch would be lit on fire before he released that arrow with the bow. And then the intention of that arrow was that it would pierce the flesh of the enemy, and it would burn not on the outside, but on the inside. You could hardly imagine the pain, that the searing pain, not only of the arrow piercing the flesh, but then of the burning of that cotton and pitch inside the flesh. Understanding something of these Roman arrows helps us then to understand the way in which the devil works. Several things that we can learn. In the first place, these arrows of the devil are intended to penetrate and burn. They are of the devil, and we must understand that carefully. The text says that they are of the wicked. Quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You could add the word one. Quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, a clear reference to the devil. We must understand this carefully, for there are many things in this world which to us might seem as though they are fiery darts. But in reality, they are not fiery darts of the wicked one. There is tribulation that we experience. There is anguish, grief of heart, sorrow, and loss. There is persecution for righteousness' sake. There are the burdens that one sustains in home and in the family. There are injuries which the body sustains. There are diseases which can consume from the inside out. And though these are burdens, even grievous burdens to be borne, we must not confuse these trials which God sends with the fiery darts which the devil sends. It might be the case that the devil uses the occasion of a trial to tempt an individual to turn away from God and to put one's trust in the things of this earth, and yet trial itself is not a temptation. We must not accuse God of tempting. James declares that God tempteth no man. Hebrews 12, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. The trials that God puts in our lives are not intended to penetrate, to burn, in order that we might be destroyed. But the trials which God sends in our lives are sent with a sanctifying purpose, so that we might be built up in faith and in hope and in love. In distinction from the trials of this earth are the temptations which the devil sends. Again, he might be pleased to work to use the occasion of the trial, but the devil is the one who sends these temptations. That they are fiery darts of the wicked shows us that these temptations are used in a devilish way. They come from the wicked one. The wicked one is not honest in his dealings, but the wicked one is devilish. He is deceitful. And so he, as he sends forth these darts, takes that which is good and presents it as though it were evil, and takes that which is evil and presents that as though it were good. The devil seeks to plant seeds in the thoughts and minds of God's people, which burn within the mind, burning not in a holy zeal and lust for God, but burning instead in an unholy lust. The devil would have man's mind burned with thoughts of lust, thoughts of envy, resentment, or a desire for revenge if one has been dealt a hand unjustly. The devil will use whatever means at his disposal. Although the text speaks of the wicked in the singular, we mustn't misunderstand. It's not only the devil who sends these arrows, but it is all of the fallen angels, the demons, who together at the devil's commissioning send forth these darts. And then as well, we learn that these arrows of temptation fly quickly, and they come unexpectedly. The arrow's flight is silent. You cannot hear it coming. Human reflexes are such that by the time one sees the flight of the arrow, there will not be enough time to duck in order that one might have that arrow miss him. It's necessary then that this shield be in place before the arrow gets too close. So it is for the temptations of the devil. The temptations could well come when we least expect it. There was Eve standing in the garden, as yet no sin, no temptation had been placed before her. And without her asking for it, without her seeking it, there came the tempter. There was Joseph down in Egypt, slave. God was with him down there. He had risen to power in Mr. Potiphar's house. He was doing his work. He was minding his own business, and without him asking for it, without him seeking it, there came the seductress, the arrows of temptation, as Mrs. Potiphar tried to seduce him into breaking the seventh commandment. To be sure, there are times where one can be so caught up in a sin of vice that he does indeed go out and seeks that sin and the fulfillment of the lusts of the flesh. But there can be other times where one is honestly going about his or her own business, busy going about the work that God calls one to do, and the devil seeks that individual out, and suddenly and unexpectedly, there is the temptation. Is the shield in place to protect you? And then we learn as well about these temptations that the arrows are directed specifically to you as an individual child of God. Not great spears that are thrown toward a large number of people, but one specific arrow that the devil sends with precision, intended to attack your heart. How accurate and how specific are the temptations which the devil sends your direction? He knows the right time to put certain temptations before you. He knows the right place where you are the most vulnerable. Is this man enjoying success in his labors? Is he growing wealthy? Then the devil sends unto that man the fiery dart of pride. Is this woman feeling overwhelmed? Then the devil sends unto her the dart of bitterness and resentment. He knows just the right time to send these darts. He waited until Eve was away from her husband so that she could be addressed and tempted in isolation. He waited until Joseph was down in Egypt, far away from the covenant family. Is it late at night? Are you alone? Are you young people with friends on Friday night and there are no parents supervising you? Are you with your phone and there's no one to monitor you? The devil knows when and how to send the fiery darts. He tailors the temptation to match the particular vulnerability in our lives. Is your shield in place? The shield that God gives unto us is a gift. It is the gift of faith. Above all, taking the shield of faith. The Roman shield was a rather large shield. We mustn't imagine a circular shield, approximately 16 or 18 inches in diameter, but rather imagine a tubular-shaped shield, one that would go from about the height of the knees up to the height of one's head, approximately 4 feet tall. The shield would have a slight curve to it so that it could offer defense as well to some of the side of the soldiers. This shield then would be held by one hand of the soldier as he advanced toward the enemy. It's noteworthy with regard to the use of these shields that at times the Romans would use them in unison with the entire company of soldiers. The soldiers would stand right next to each other in combat, shoulder to shoulder, and then huddled together, they would hold the shields up in front of them if you were standing in the front row. And if you were in the rows behind, they would hold these shields overhead. Huddled together like that, the shields would provide almost an entire protection, a bubble of protection over that company. If one had an eagle's eye vantage point of those soldiers, all one would see is shield after shield covering that entire company. What is the shield that you seek to protect you? The shield that we seek does not belong to this earth, but it is a shield which comes from God Himself and is the gift of faith. The shield that God gives unto us is union with Him. The shield that God gives unto us is refuge underneath His wings. The shield that we have is the fact that we are united unto the Almighty Lord of hosts, who has at his disposal all of the armies of this earth. The shield that God gives unto us is union with him through the redemptive work of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who could cause himself to have such a shield, who could possibly unite himself unto such a great and holy and glorious God. We understand it is impossible of ourselves to reach out and take such a God, but the faith that we have that unites us unto him is God's gift unto us. God condescends to us by his Holy Spirit and through the power of his word, and God gives unto us this shield. Ephesians 2, verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." We would have no shield except God granted unto us. He delivers it to us in his love. He understands how we are prone to doubt and question. He understands the many attacks that we face. And as a loving Father, he provides for us this shield. Faith can be considered from two different perspectives. We can consider faith objectively, and as well we can consider the subjective aspect of faith. Faith objectively is that which we believe. We believe in the word of God. This is our shield, that which God has delivered unto us. The word of God proclaims in Jude, verse 3, "It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints." The faith that was once delivered to the saints, we understand, is none other than the word of God. Jehovah spoke and delivered that word unto the saints. It's the word given by inspiration through the work of the Holy Spirit. The word delivered through Paul and Peter and James and all the other apostles. Faith then is the objective, the unchanging truths of God's word, which have guided and protected God's church for millennia. What a fortress is this shield of faith. It is the cornerstone upon which God's church is built up. Behold the protection that God gives by the power of his word. This was the failure that Eve had in the garden. When the devil came unto her and tempted, Eve should have responded with God's word. That was the defense that Jesus Christ had when Jesus was tempted of the devil. He responded three times over saying, "It is written." What happens when man leaves behind this shield of faith? It leaves man vulnerable and exposed. Hosea the prophet proclaims, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee." But then as well, subjective faith, that is trusting in this word. is the shield that God gives unto us. Simply the fact that we have this word, and simply the fact that we have some level of understanding of that word, does not protect an individual except the individual trust that word. We have countless numbers of Bibles across the face of this globe. People have access to the Word of God like they've never had access to it before. And yet, do the people believe that Word of God? You understand, this too is God's work in us by the Holy Spirit. God gives unto us confidence in this Word. God gives unto us an attitude of humility as we approach this word so that we submit unto it. This too then is our shield as we face the fiery darts of the devil. How the devil would seek to place in our minds doubt and questioning. Is God's word really true? Are God's promises faithful? Will God protect me in every instance? Jesus Christ admonished his disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." How easily our hearts are troubled as we are beset with the trials of this earth, as we take our eyes off of Jehovah God and limit our eyes to the uncertainty of this earth, to the hardships that we face, then we are distressed. Then we are driven about with the waves of the sea. But what steadfastness, what confidence there is when with quiet repose our trust is placed in God and His Word. There's power, remarkable power, in this shield to protect us. The power that faith gives unto us, according to this text, is this: ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. A noteworthy word choice there as the Spirit led the Apostle Paul to write this down, quench. That's not immediately what we think of when we think of arrows. One considers the flight of an arrow and preventing that arrow from striking the target. One might think of deflect, a shield that deflects the arrow, prevents, stops. But the word is quench. It means to extinguish, taking a fire extinguisher and putting out the flame. The Spirit uses this word intentionally. It's not a mistake that it speaks of quenching darts. He uses this word intentionally to show to us that there's greater power in faith than what we might initially realize. Faith not only has the power to deflect arrows, faith not only has the power to stop the path of the arrow through the sky, but faith as well has this power. It quenches these fiery darts. Faith, as it were, grabs these darts mid-flight, takes that dart and douses the flame beneath the water so that no longer is it burning. And then faith takes that arrow and snaps it in pieces, and then discards that arrow on the ground so that it is impotent to lead man into temptation. Such is the power of faith. Beyond what we as human beings would even expect faith to have, faith gives unto us complete victory. It is able to quench not some, but all the fiery darts of the wicked. How difficult this is for us to believe. God came unto Sarah with a promise that she would have a child in her old age, and she heard that word of the Lord, and she laughed. Moses, who had dealt for years with the murmuring of God's people, at last, in a moment of frustration, beat the rock. And we mustn't imagine that there were no implications from this weakness of faith. Moses doubted, and God told him he would not personally enter the land of Canaan. Peter took his eyes off Jesus and began to sing. May it be said of you and of all of God's people, this person walked by faith. Faith which looks beyond the horizon of this earth and looks heavenward. Faith which beholds God's only begotten Son sitting in power at God's right hand. Faith which beholds his sovereign control, without which control the devil would not be able to send a single fiery dart. Faith which believes that he averts all evil or turns it to our profit. Faith which believes that he comes, and he comes quickly, in which day never again there will fly a fiery dart of the wicked. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank thee for the gift of faith, which is the victory that overcometh this world. Wilt thou grant unto us a rich portion of thy Holy Spirit, that we might believe thy word? Wilt thou, Father, forgive us the weakness of our faith? Help thou our unbelief. Strengthen us that daily we might resist the wiles of the wicked one, and that we might seek first Jesus Christ and his righteousness and his kingdom. Amen.